In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14, Luke tells one part of the Christmas story this way. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." There's a word that's used twice in this passage by Luke that I want us to focus on for just a little while, and the word is glory. The glory of the Lord shone around the shepherds when the angels appeared, and the angels themselves announced glory to God in the highest. Hold on to that word for a bit, glory. We're talking about magnificence, splendor, brightness, excellence, preeminence, glory. During this season here at Chapel Hill Church, we've been talking about a beautiful title that was given to Jesus, and it's the title Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. The angel told Joseph that this would be Jesus' title. This would be who he is. And throughout history, God has been with us. Even though the human race made choices that have separated us from God, God never abandoned his creation. Not once. He has always been, he is, and he always will be God with us. And so we've been talking about that beautiful truth and how we can respond to that truth of God being with us, his presence with us. And he has remained with us. And as he's done this, God has also invited us to draw near to him. No matter what our circumstances are, no matter what we've done or what we think of ourselves, God invites us to draw near, to be close to him. It's an incredible invitation, one that Jesus stated many times while he was here with us physically as well. He called people to come. He invited them to come near, to follow him, to be with him. But as we know, God wasn't always with us physically. While he was here in the form of Jesus, there was a significant distance between God and us before that. God's glory was something that humans couldn't approach, let alone touch, before Jesus. God was still here, but there was a gap there. There was distance. God's glory could be seen in the heavens. It was visible in the skies. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship." God's visible in the heavens. God's brilliance is really easy to see on a clear, starry night, isn't it? Our family has often sought out dark skies so that we can see more stars, experience God's glory more fully. And recently, we, as in the Twin Cities here, we were blessed with a visit from the Northern Lights. Thank you, Canada. This is, yep, you're welcome. I'm going to put up a picture. This is an unedited photo that I took simply stepping out my front door in Prior Lake, stepping across the street on the sidewalk, and taking a picture. It was wild. It was a wild event. We have hundreds of photos like this, and every second the sky changed, and we just kept taking more and more pictures, and there's very little we had to do because it was right there. It put on such a show, and it was so beautiful. God's glory has always been evident in the skies, from the stars to the northern lights to a really good electrical storm to the beauty of a full moon or those crazy silver slivers of a moon that you can see sometimes. I love that. God's glory is there. It's far, far away, but it's there. In Old Testament times, thousands of years ago, God's glory was there, but it was too powerful to be reckoned with. In Exodus 24, God brought Moses up a mountain to receive his covenant with his people. And the way God's glory is described in that setting is fascinating. Exodus 24:17 says, "To the Israelites at the foot of the mountain, the glory of the Lord appeared at the summit like a consuming fire." To the people, God's glory was something that they simply could not handle. Even for Moses, while standing in a crack in a rock wall, God covered his face and wouldn't even allow Moses to see his presence until he had passed by, and Moses just got a glimpse of God going the other way. That's all he was capable of. It was too much. Later on, God would have his people build a temple to house his glory. God's people had a tabernacle, a traveling temple, while they were in the wilderness, and then God gave them plans to build something spectacular to house his glory. It was this amazing temple that they put up, and God gave them full instructions on what it should look like. Now, this building here is a temple of sorts. We consider it that. But compared to the temple that God instructed his people to build way back in the Old Testament, this is barely a pole barn. It was absolutely amazing. It was there to house the presence and glory of the Lord. In the heart of the temple was the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God would dwell. Very few were ever allowed to enter this place. The glory of God could not simply mingle with the sinfulness of his creation. There was separation, there was distance. But God wasn't done, thankfully. The skies, the mountain, the temple were not intended to be the closest that we'd ever get to God. Far from it. God had a plan to restore the closeness between him and his creation. His plan included him moving very intentionally from there to here. God came near. God would be with us in a whole new way, to a whole new degree of closeness. Back at the beginning of the service, I asked you to consider a question. When God created the heavens and the earth, and when he filled the heavens and the earth with so much beauty, plants and animals of all kinds, and created so much beauty that now in 2025, we're actually still discovering things that he created that human eyes have never seen before. Think about that. Why didn't he just stop at what he had already created? Why did God go that one step further and create the human race? Us, knowing what was going to happen, why did he go ahead and create a species that was going to fail him and create distance between them and their creator? Could it be that God wanted something that he hadn't yet created? Could it be that God wanted community, that he wanted family? God wanted sons and daughters. God wanted a family kingdom, and so he created one so that he could be close to them, so that he could enjoy relationship with them, with us forever, and not from a distance, up close, personal, intimate relationships with the sons and daughters that he created to be with him. For thousands of years, in the midst of the separation that existed between God and his family, God constantly called them to come back, God invited his creation to do all they could to restore the relationship that had been lost. He guided his people. He was patient with his people. He spoke to his people through his prophets, patiently waited for them, all the while calling them, come back. But their efforts, our efforts, were not enough to close the gap. And so God determined to close the gap for us. When our efforts to reach him had failed, God chose to reach us. He would come to us to restore us into his family. God would send his own son to be part of our family to show us a way home. So from the heights of the skies and the mountains, from the majesty of the temple and the holy of holies, God stepped down. He came to visit us on our level. He came to be one of us. A few weeks ago, we had a Christmas musical that our kids did here. It was phenomenal. How many of you were there to see that? This was really a great time, wasn't it? The week following our Christmas musical, I was talking to a parent whose daughter was in the musical. If you were there, and if you weren't, it's fine. It's not relevant. But if you were there, remember the cheerleaders up front? Okay, so the smallest of the cheerleaders. She was a blast, wasn't she? She was a lot of fun. She was so expressive. And so in the week that followed, I was talking to her mom. Her mom works here, runs a Parents' Day Out program here, and I was talking to her, and I said, your daughter did so well. She was so expressive. She was so engaging. There was so much joy in her face. She was so dramatic. Little did I know that in that statement, I had offended the little girl's older sister, who was standing right next to her mom, who gets this distraught look on her face, tugs away at her mom, and says, Mom, I'm dramatic too. And being a good mom, she's like, yes, you're very dramatic too. There's a lot of drama in the Christmas story, isn't there? It is filled with drama. What a story it is. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, right? Think about some of the factors that are involved in the Christmas story. There are prophecies fulfilled that went on for thousands of years leading up to this. Over and over and over again. Think Isaiah 7 through 9 for a while. Just start there. They shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's 700 years before Emmanuel even came. Words like, for unto us a child is born. All the names that were given to Jesus who would come much, much later. All these prophecies are fulfilled. At that time, a nationwide census just happened to be taken, which required everybody to go to the town of their ancestors to be registered. And lo and behold, it happened right then. And where did Mary and Joseph have to go? They had to go to Bethlehem, town of David, which was prophesied. And off they go to do that. More drama. Mary and Joseph have to make this journey. Well, she is very pregnant. So just imagine how much fun it is to ride that far in the back of a donkey while you're that pregnant. Pass. Hard pass. There just happens to be no room for them in the inn. So they stay in a stable where Jesus is born and laid to rest in a manger. Mary's pregnancy itself is a miracle. The Father is the Holy Spirit. Try to wrap your head around that one. Elizabeth's pregnancy is a miracle. They weren't even supposed to be able to have kids anymore. There's some more drama. An angel visits the main characters of the story. Zechariah gets a visit, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, angels are involved in all of that. So much drama. This crazy king tries to stop the whole thing, and Jesus barely escapes with his life because they were warned to get out, and off they go to Egypt. There's all this stuff going on. Wise men from far, far away follow something that's going on in the sky, and they follow it all the way to Bethlehem, where they meet the Christ child. There's so much happening. It's an absolutely remarkable story. Could things get any more dramatic than that? Well, not likely, but when I slowed down to work through the Christmas story again this year and just ask God, okay, what do you have for me this time? What do you want me to see? Out it comes. I see something different, and I see something that to me, in this moment, surpasses all the other stuff. Because I slowed down to consider Emmanuel, the whole idea of God with us. And that took me down an amazing path. Try to picture what happened here. Jesus had always existed in the presence of his Father, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. The three in one, the Trinity, exists in community without beginning. They've always been there. They've always had each other, yet they're one. They've enjoyed that. They've enjoyed perfection, absolute perfection for all of eternity. Everything is as it should be. There is nothing spoiling what they have going on. This is where Jesus is. In the meantime, he's seen the mess that's been made of what he created. His heart breaks, the Father's heart breaks, and this plan begins to unfold that Jesus is going to leave and do something very, very dramatic. He's going to leave all of that, and he is going to take on human form. And not only is he going to take on human form with all of our limitations and weaknesses and all the rest of that, he's going to come as a baby. Now, you've seen babies before. Vulnerable. And not only does he come as a vulnerable baby, he's born in the filth of a stable and laid in a feed trough that was not nearly as clean as this one is. That move from the comforts of heaven to a stable hit me in such a new way this year. God with us. And not in a simple or comfortable way. God with us at the lowest possible place. Dirt floor, animal filth, outside, exposed, vulnerable, poor, unknown. And there, God joins us. So here's what I want to challenge you with this afternoon. Simply this. When there are times when you're feeling inadequate, and you feel that maybe you're not good enough for God, you feel bad about yourself, you feel bad about something you've done, something you believed about yourself, you feel that you just don't measure up to the God of heaven. The challenge I have for you is simply this. Are you any lower than this was? See, God, Jesus didn't come at a certain level where those above him could accept him because he was below them. Those below him could not accept him because he was above them. Jesus went all the way to the bottom. God with us brought his kingdom to us in the form of a baby born in a stable, laid in a manger, visited by shepherds, running for his life, poor and unknown, to an insignificant couple in an insignificant town, except in God's eyes. And there he was, God with us. Listen, Jesus can meet you wherever you're at, no matter what. wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, you are not in a place so low where Jesus cannot reach you. He's gone as low as you can go. In order to what? In order to bring his children home and restore his family. And no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what you think of yourself, high or low, Jesus wants you in his family. He created you for that. He created you because he loves you and he wants to be with you. He wants to be close to you. And so as you remember him this Christmas, see this as an invitation where Jesus simply said, I'm going to come to be with you, but I'm going to be with you in such a way that you can't possibly be intimidated by this. And he says, just come to where I am. Bring all of yourself. I came to join you in your vulnerability. I came to join you in your weakness. I came to join you in your frailty. So that I can restore you into my family, to be my brother, to be my sister, so that we can live with our Father for all of eternity. To me, the most dramatic part of the Christmas story is simply this. God left that. Left the heavens. Left the mountains. Left the temple. And came to this. To be with us. Because he wants us to be with him. And if you haven't, I would encourage you to accept that invitation. And even if you have accepted that invitation and you find yourself at a distance from God because you just don't feel adequate, please remember the length to which Jesus went to be with us. He is here. And he can relate to and love and empathize with every single one of us. And he accepts us fully out of his infinite love. Will you pray with me? And then we're going to sing some more songs together here. Father, what a gift you have given. Cannot thank you enough for not giving up on us. For not just choosing to leave the distance and move on to something else, to someone else. Thank you for never abandoning us, for always being with us, no matter what. And then for this remarkable gift of sending your son as a human baby, born in a stable, laid in a manger, completely exposed to everything that we face, in order to reach out to us, to come and be with us so that we could be with you. Thank you for his willingness, for his obedience, for his humility, and for his perfect, abundant love for every single one of us. That he would accept that plan, that he would take that step and descend from the heavens, from the perfection of your presence, to be in ours. And then that he would offer to come even closer into our very hearts, into our lives, and be the God who dwells in us, making us your temple. God, remind us of your presence, remind us of your glory on display in a stable. I pray for your blessing this Christmas, for everyone that's here, no matter where they're at, If they need comfort, Lord, give it. If they need strength, provide it. If they need a reminder of your presence with them, please do that. Help them to know that your desire is to be close. Help them to receive openly that invitation to draw near to you. Thank you for loving us that much, for creating us, for not giving up on us, for sending your Son to save us, and for drawing us close so that we could be with you for all of eternity. We praise you for that this Christmas. In the name of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Amen.